Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 7 and following. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is our text. Friends in Christ, the ancient biographer Plutarch observed that it is oftentimes in the most trivial events that character is revealed. The observations of Jesus in today's account support that statement by Plutarch. Here's Jesus. He's at a dinner, and he's observing the guests as they're coming in. It's a Pharisee's household. And he notices how there's a maneuvering to get to the best place there at the dinner. Illustrated in that act is the sin of self-seeking pride, which as a part of the original sin we all have infusing through our very being. When the medievalists labeled the seven deadly sins, pride was at the top of the list. It was the sin of pride by which Satan was cast down from heaven, because after all, pride is putting oneself really in the place of God, or it is seeking to be that place where God dwells. And this sin, again, threatens all of us, so that we are like the rooster in one of Aesop's fables. In the fable, there are two roosters in the barnyard, and they are combating one another to have the chief role, to be the conqueror, to be the master of the barnyard. One puts the other to flight, who goes and he skulks around in a silent corner, while the other one flies up to the highest part of the building, to the perch. That was like the highest place in his domain. Flapped his wings and he crowed exultingly with all his might. Meanwhile, up above, there was an eagle soaring around who, seeing the rooster up on top of the house, pulled in its wings, dived down, and grabbed it with its talons and took off. And then the skulking rooster came out and had mastery of the barnyard for the rest of the time. This pagan story, of course, from Aesop echoes our text in a very real way. Because the vice of the Pharisees and the scribes were like unto it, of seeking prominence, of seeking pride of place. And it was so common that Jesus underscored this character flaw a number of times in the Gospels and calls account. It actually points to the Pharisees and to the scribes. For example, in Luke, he says, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts." And so here they were, of course, going to get the best place at the feast. Now, while the notion of getting the best place at a feast might seem a bit foreign to many of us who don't engage regularly in those kinds of dinners. And I'm not sure that over in our dining hall there is the best place, but maybe there is for some of us, and we rush to get there. There's some kind of a parallel that we can understand. For example, on November 12th, when the Green Bay Packers and the Vikings take on each other up in the Metrodome, I can imagine that there might be some who might be willing to go and run after those $650 seats that are right down there in the lower sections. And there will be some, of course, who can't afford anything. They'll end up with a $73 ticket up there in the no oxygen zone, where you can't even breathe, it's so far away. But it's there. But then down below, there's that $17,000 seat that you can get in the skybox. And there are a lot of people who love to go there. That's the one where everybody sees you. And this is not to say necessarily that those are the people who want to be seen by everybody, but it's oftentimes the case, $17,000 for a seat. This is not about paying for seats, of course. It's about a principle of wanting to have prominence. So this is a parable, really, that's more than a story about the best seats or dinner etiquette. It's more than, just as sowing in the parable of the sower is more than about sowing. It's really a parable about the kingdom of God. And Jesus closes at verse 11 with a pronouncement, the same one, really, interestingly enough, used to conclude some other places, including the parable of the two men, do you remember, that went to the temple to pray, Pharisee and the tax collector? Going to prayer, Jesus opens up and introduces that particular parable by saying this through the holy writer. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And that was certainly the Pharisees who trusted in themselves. They thought that their works were going to gain some sort of position, not just in a dinner, but before God. Just as Satan fell from heaven because of sinful pride, so also we, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, need to be aware of this tendency within all of us, the sin of pride that lurks within. It's our tendency, we want to go and serve ourselves rather than serving others. Just think about that. What are you doing? What am I doing? Am I doing it to serve others or to call attention to myself? We're all prone to want to call attention to ourselves. That's the sin of pride. Now, it's not to say that having attention called to ourselves is sinful, but it's to say that what one does, the motivating action for what one does, is oftentimes the difference. St. Peter put it this way when he talked about living lives of service. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. This is, of course, the main reason why the Pharisees could not accept Jesus Christ, because he was humble. He was not, in their eyes, what he should have been if he was God. But that's exactly what he was. He was God in the flesh, the very God who deserved to have all might and all glory. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He took on human flesh for us because we were fallen creatures. And he lived that life, even though he deserved to be honored and to be given glory his entire time. He emptied himself of that glory, and he went to the cross, and he took all of our sins there to Calvary. He lived a perfect life when every single one of us have not. And through that humble act of dying upon the cross, of living for us, he has opened up the gates of paradise. Being found in appearance as a man, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And there's the paradox of God, that in Jesus Christ, who was denied the very best, and who was in fact given the worst, we are granted everything through him, by his atoning worth, by trusting in what he did for us. Well, you probably heard snow is coming on Wednesday. winter's about ready to arrive, and when it does, don't panic. Of course, those of you who are skiing, you're already putting that wax on your skis, but for those of us who would rather not have it coming, just begin to think Christmas. And in deep humility of faith, thank the Lord for the marvelous Christmas story that is with us all year long. That tells us that by faith in his work, we have everlasting life. Or as Luke put it in that great Christmas story, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Amen. Let us rise and pray. I ask all of you to turn, if you will, to page 168, and we join together in the morning prayer for Monday. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this inspiring way, yet all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might. Make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world better to me, that you may become more sweet. Teach me also.